You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Robert M. Stanley. Robert is currently the editor of Unicus magazine and author of Close Encounters on Capitol Hill and Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. He hosts the Unicus Radio Hour and has served as a correspondent for America's Morning News and America's Radio News Network. Robert has traveled to dozens of countries and has read hundreds of books and thousands of articles during his lifelong pursuit of modern and ancient mysteries. Over the past 30 years, Robert's quest for the unique ideas and information has led him to research and write about many controversial topics. His ongoing investigations have been featured on television, radio, and in print. You can find out more at www.unicusmagazine.com. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Doing well, Lance. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Well, I thought we'd jump right into the China shop and look at the elephant in the room. Extraterrestrials and archons, they're here and have been for a very long time, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. But they didn't create this world. They only wrecked it and then established this world as part of their empire. My understanding is that let me try and separate this. There are other dimensional or other beings from other universes that have come here. They look like, at least from the photographs I've seen, they're sort of like an amoeba.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are the infection. They came through some sort of wormhole at some point. I think they hitched a ride on some of our ancestors that literally left this universe through some stargate or something, came back here, and that is the infection that has caused all the destruction and evil that we see here, obviously on this planet, but you know, it isn't limited just to just this world, as far as I know. So, but it's there's a hierarchy involved there, where these, even though these amoeba-looking things really don't have opposable thumbs or anything or technology, the fact is that they do insinuate themselves into our conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not everybody, but I mean, enough of us are being influenced by them covertly, so that we do things to harm ourselves or others, and that actually is where they get their energy. To feed off of.
Right. There are pictures that have been taken by NASA and others,
yeah,
that show these huge, I suppose that they would have to be huge, and they look like round disks with a circle.
Yes. Yeah, but that's the NASA stuff. Did you see the press release about this?
I did not see the press release.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, it's on. You really okay? I'll send it to you in an email.
Right.
But for anybody else, go to my website at unicusmagazine.com. Click on articles. It's the second link down. It says meet our controllers, the Archons. Pictures in there. Not only the NASA stuff, but pictures were taken mainly by Trevor James Constable back in the 50s using infrared film. It's very consistent, and it's really odd how
yes,
this all.
Yes.
Okay. It all came together in my mind. After writing the second book about Washington, D.C., I knew that there was what the Catholic Church calls a demonic influence in Washington, D.C. Obviously, it's around the world, too, but I was focused on Washington, D.C., and I was trying to get some answers as to what are these demons, really? Okay, yeah, you can call them alien, but that doesn't... There's more to it than that, right?
Right.
That's how I found out about the Archons. I'd read about them, I'd heard about them, but... Typically speaking, most people say, oh, they're reptilians or grays. Those are the Archons. They may very well be, but there are human beings that are who are under the influence of the Archons. I'll give you an example. A dog, right? Beautiful dog gets infected by rabies.
Uh-huh, right.
It turns violent. You can't reason with it. It goes, right? It acts
insane. That's right.
Okay, this is the same kind of thing we're talking about here. These amoeba-like entities that are non-physical are energetically influencing us and all these other different races to do destruction, harm to ourselves and the environment.
Yes, that aligns with everything that I've studied and known, and directly and indirectly as well.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, this goes, the Gnostics wrote about this. Carlos Castaneda is mentioned in your article as well.
Yeah, and that's it.
They cannot, John Lamb Lash is another one that writes about it. They can't influence us directly. They have to, in other words, they don't have the power of creation that we do in this realm. So all they can do is create false imitations.
Right.
So that's where the things like McDonald's, Golden Arches, and all these other things that come in that are replications, they can replicate, but they cannot create. So we're used to create all of these things, and then they feed off of the negative energy, similar to the Matrix trilogy.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good analogy also. I'm sure that's what they were trying to tell us. In fact, those, you know, the creatures, that those machine-like spiders.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, very, very similar to the Archon, that one level of Archon I was trying to tell you that looks like an amoeba.
Uh-huh.
No one identified that as an Archon until, I think it was fall of 2011 is when I first released that, and it went all over the place. I mean, that caught on like wildfire.
Right.
You
well,
know?
The truth catches
mainly
on, doesn't it?
Well, here's the thing, Lance, people seen these things. It's just the pictures. People wrote to me and said, oh, thank God, somebody finally mentioned it. Yes, they're telling me they've seen these things. And I guess it's like you were saying, they've been around for a long time. As far as historically, as far as we're concerned, this society has always been under their influence.
Yes, yes.
Covertly.
Yes. It seems as if we have always been enslaved at some level from the very beginning. And this also includes the notion that our gods that came about thousands of years ago, that people worship, probably were higher or advanced beings that may also have been under the influence of these archons.
Yes, clearly they were. Anybody who's destructive or evil, I mean, is under the influence, in my opinion, now that I know what I know about these things. And obviously that you can find more of them in places like Washington, D.C. or the Vatican or whatever, because,
Yes, absolutely. All control systems and the super wealthy, the corporations now, the heads of corporations are in on it, which, you know, brings us to another aspect of this whole game that they've created, because they are not subject to time. So they can operate outside of time. They use us as their vehicles or as their tools for their own agenda. So we know that there have been things like Area 51 and hundreds of other bases created in conjunction with a very secretive corporate groups and probably elements of the mafia, the church. I know that the Vatican has funded numerous projects through DARPA.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't know much about it. We know enough from whistleblowers that they have just about anything technologically that we could imagine, and that has been described in science fiction movies.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yes, and the ironic thing is that we who have been paying for it and have been that they built their empires on the backs of. The royal families and the rest of it, they get all the goodies. I think the Queen just got a raise to $35 million a year, which is just the tip of the iceberg. We're the ones that are being used, and then now they want to exterminate us and control us even further with chemtrails and the rest of it.
Yeah. So, I know. It's very insidious. They have wrought destruction within the solar system and on this planet from the moment they arrived here. And like I said, this is not the only place that's under their influence. However, I don't really think the entire universe is. And at some point, this is going to be dealt with, or it's already being dealt with, again, covertly. Sometimes we see evidence of it, but generally speaking, this is all going on behind the scenes. And, you know, in the article that I was referencing before that I wrote, as I find new information, I put it up there, including, you know, anything that might actually help people to deal with these things.
Uh-huh.
I know it's still a stretch for a lot of people. They're like, oh, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as evil. And actually, that's the greatest trick of these things, is convincing us that they don't exist.
There you go.
You know,
yep.
So, but once a person does recognize that these things are real and can see evidence of them in their own life and other people's life, then you have to do something about it, obviously, you know. There's various techniques that people do, and I mean, obviously, whatever works for you is great, but personally, I think that these things cannot take the light. They don't like laughter. Mm. They don't like anything that's happiness, loving, but they really don't like the light. And so I've combined a couple of meditative techniques from different parts of the world. Very quickly, it goes like this. If you can clear your mind and focus on your solar plexus, that's the stomach area, and just imagine a candle, just one candle flame burning. This is, now, it has to be done visually. The inner vision has to be at play here. But just imagine the candle burning. You take that candle, and then you use it to ignite a fire. Just visualize this in your mind, that there is a fire there. There's the wood. There's all the tinder. You place the candle in front of it, and poof, it starts into a fire. As the more you focus on that fire, the greater comfort that you'll find actually is surrounding you, especially at night. This is usually better at night when it's quiet and you're getting ready to go to bed, because that's when they come out to feed. This is when you want to do this, folks. So just give it a try. Build a campfire in your mind, but light the campfire using the God spark within you. Like I said, for simplicity's sake, just imagine one little candle that is lit inside you. Then you extend that out to the fire, and you pass the fire on, you create this fire in front of yourself. And you know, if you've ever seen a bonfire, it happens once a year down the street at my the high school my son's going to. They create a bonfire, and I'm not kidding, from like 1,000 feet away, you can feel the heat. You can hear it crackling, you know. It just ripples through the air. So I use that as an imagery, where it goes from small to, like I said, small to large to even larger. And at that point, if there's anything bothering me, if there's any little negative entities around, I just throw them in the fire. Mentally, I just put them in there, and poof, they're gone.
Ah, beautiful.
They're gone from my space.
Wonderful. And you know, I like that, because what I'm finding for myself is that the light is within.
Yes.
And so many people try to bring in light from outside and from this place and that place, and we don't know what we're bringing in when we're inviting
right.
something into ourselves through the crown chakra or through whatever feeding tubes we have. It's even conceivable that the chakras have been corrupted.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And this is the thing. I mean, we have been taught not to look with our third eye at anything,
mm-hmm.
including ourselves. And some people just dismiss it as imagination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, folks, but that's what we're talking about when we say the kingdom of God is within. You have to use your inner vision. You have to use with a God-given gift of insight.
Yes, and isn't part of that included in moving outside the left brain or the mind and dropping your mind activity into the heart space, seeing using your third eye or your inner vision?
Well, there's all kinds of techniques to move the energy around, what I'm focusing on is connecting the inner light to the external light. In geometry, it's called pi and phi. The internal and external measurement is really, there is no separation unless you look at it that way. See, and so the reason I'm talking about doing this is because it isn't just about energy, building an energy field. It's lighting the God spark is very important, and moving it up. Eventually, when you move it up into the crown chakra, when you can actually see the light in your mind, you're generating. You're actually connecting to the source. When you can see it like that, on some level, you actually are that.
Yes, absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
Okay, because when we talk about things that we talk about conceiving, a conception.
Right. Right.
Okay, it's all thought form. And that's why the what we are dismissing as pure imagination is 180 degrees backwards. It all starts there.
Right.
It all starts there, you know?
Right. And then the educational system and everything around us, society, and everything we're programmed to, the beliefs that we're just constantly bombarded with,
yes.
And the technological waves that we can't see are telling us to judge and discern and think and so on and so forth. And that's reducing our imagination to zero. We're taught not to imagine and not to think.
Right, right.
So,
well, and what we do think we're supposed to, it's groupthink.
Group,
and,
right.
You know, it's also this, if you notice, every time you turn on TV, or a lot of times radio even, mainstream radio, it's always provoking, always constantly agitating, you know, irritating.
Yes.
And drawing us
and
down
judging.
To the lowest denominator.
Yes, and worship of things outside ourselves, movie stars,
right.
Millionaires' lives, and everything outside of us is designed to bedazzle, and that is the archontic thought form infiltrating our world. That really is it. They have nailed it. I mean, whatever it is, it's an extremely a formidable force.
So, Lance, my understanding is the reason that they would like to kill so many of us now, even though they consider us their property at this point, is because they fear that they will lose us.
Right. Right.
Okay. You know, whether we either wake up on our own or there's been an effort, as I said, covertly to awaken us.
Yes.
You know, the good guys have a different set of rules that they play by. And so it's really incumbent upon us not only to improve ourselves, become more aware, and also to generate more light or to connect more consciously, connect ourselves to the grid of light, but also to welcome in the angelic beings who are our direct ancestors. The Archons are really not from this universe, as I said, and they are something foreign to the creation of this particular universe. I know there's multiple universes, if not possibly even infinite. I'm just saying we are children of this universe. We are creators. We are born from, I'll put it to you this way. If you have a mighty oak and it drops acorns, each one of those seeds has an entire mighty oak within it. The potential is there, right? And if it finds fertile ground and it gets proper sun and water and time, it will grow into a mighty oak. And the process repeats itself. Well, that's, in my understanding, that's what God really is. On an energetic consciousness level, there are souls that become so mature that they literally create an entire universe, and then they populate it with life. All that life is like seeds. We're like soullings, godlings, that are in a state of becoming and maturing into creators. And at some point, we'll probably go off, some of us, many of us, most of us, will go off and create our own universe, populate it with all kinds of thought forms, and then, you know, we would be the father of that universe, and we would be responsible for all life within it. So you got to ask yourself, if what I said is accurate, why would the God creator of this universe create things like the Archons?
Right.
See, that's another reason I really firmly believe they're not even from here, not from this universe.
Right. It doesn't make any sense to think that they're part of this creation, as well as that leads to the logical conclusion that anything, any company or person or scientist that comes up with something like Terminator seeds that do not reproduce, like Monsanto,
right.
can't be working on behalf of humanity.
No, and that's why in the Bible it says you'll know them by their fruit.
Fruit,
the labor, what they produce, not what they say they're going to do, but what they actually do.
Yes.
Because they're so highly manipulative and deceitful, and, you know, I mean, they don't operate above board, because they know, generally speaking, that the human spirit will resist.
Yes.
You know, resistance is not futile. That's human nature.
Right.
Okay, because we were given free will. Yeah, anytime that's violated, it just doesn't feel right.
isn't it possible that many of the people who have strong religious beliefs are seeing an accurate perception? They're just simply that they're being sequestered in feeling that they're divided from others who are seeing it another way, in another light. In other words,
yeah.
we're all looking at the same thing. It's like looking at the elephant with blindfolds on.
Yeah.
And we're describing it differently, but we're being kept from uniting.
Yes.
In consciousness, because that is the key that will finally unlock our freedom and allow us to be free, which is
right.
will be a first probably.
Well, no, actually, my understanding is that this planet originally was free, and it really was a paradise. It was part of a large federation of worlds, and they were all peaceful. It wasn't until some of our ancestors went in through a wormhole to a place that they had been warned never to go.
Ah.
And when they came back out, so you know, people are going, oh, sounds like Garden of Eden. Yeah, it didn't happen here. That's a metaphor for what really happened long
right.
ago in a galaxy
right.
far, far away.
Right.
Some of our ancestors violated the prime directive of stay out of that place.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. They went in there anyway. They came out infected. They proceeded to infect, well, according to the Bible, it's like a third of the angels.
Yeah, yeah.
Are infected with this disease and have fallen into darkness. So,
And then part of that story is that the more were sent in, the more of the higher angelic realms were sent in, and they also got infected.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yeah, because they didn't
ongoing...
know.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were dealing with, Lance. I mean, honestly, they'd never seen anything like it. It was like it's sort of like Native Americans. You know, they're exposed to certain diseases, and they had no immunity to it,
right.
And it was devastating.
And that's why they were given all those wonderful blankets from...
oh, yeah, right. All the smallpox blankets, yeah.
Well, that ties in all the indigenous tribes being exterminated because
right.
one of my other guests, Kevin Annette, was talking about the destruction of the indigenous tribes in Canada. And we
yes.
know that we've done this in the Americas because they had
yes.
the wisdom and they were connected to source energy.
Well, and they actually had a memory of some of the original... Of the original divine extraterrestrial humans and others that came here and terraformed this world, and they also did genetic manipulation, but it was done with the will of the Creator to enhance, or I should say perfect, what was already been started here.
Yeah.
And this is why they call some of them are called builders, because they literally go and build worlds into their perfection. And my understanding is this world was perfect, and all life on it was perfect for a period of time up until the Archons arrived, and they wreaked havoc. They destroyed that planet that was on the other side of Mars. They destroyed Mars almost
right.
entirely. They
right.
they wrecked this world, the Earth, and stopped short of destroying it completely only because there are so many resources here.
And also they're feeding off of our energy and our negativity and the destruction that goes on here.
The greatest resource here is our DNA, and they took that
yeah.
and manipulated it and corrupted it, okay, in their image.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was already in God's image. But when they showed up and wrecked this world and turned it into a parasitic planet instead of a paradise planet, you know... And it's been going on for thousands of years. We've, you know, all of us that are here are under the influence, whether we know it or not. Some of us are obviously more aware and semi liberated. You know, I mean, personally free, but still living in a prison system, I guess you
well,
call it.
Well, yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And that's part of the awakening process that is occurring. Now, do
yeah.
you see, you've had a lot of experience with positive ETs, and
yep.
and can we talk a little bit about that? Because
sure.
we need to know that we've got help, and that help is on the inside, and that
yeah.
this is not a losing proposition. We're just at the beginning.
Yeah, hardly, hardly.
Taking back our, so let's talk about that a bit.
Yeah, well, okay, I studied this subject not as for a hobby. It's a way of life for me because I've been trying to figure out what's been going on for me personally. And ultimately, then I learned a lot about the history of the planet that in ways that, you know, it may sound odd to some people. But one of the things that our ancestors said as this world was being destroyed by the Archons was that they vowed to return and put things back to reclaim the Earth and liberate all of us that were captured here.
Uh-huh.
So the where did I start getting contact was Malibu when I was living there. I was 24 at the time, and I was a security guard, and I met a boy who was possessed by the Archons. I didn't know that at the time. I certainly couldn't have told him that. I didn't know it for sure. I just knew there was something really wrong with him, and he almost died that day because he almost bled to death. I was working security. It was just a reflex. I went and I intervened, and I made sure that the paramedics got there in time to and rushed him to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
As a result, the Archons that were attacking him and his grandparents attacked me. They were really pissed. I mean, I was young. I didn't understand half of what I know now, but
right.
I intuitively could feel it, and I actually saw them. What I could see of them in my mind's eye looked like ticks. That was the best thing I could. That was what they. But they were, God, they were draining the energy out of my solar, mostly attacking my solar plexus.
Uh-huh,
and it felt like, again, if I had to visually describe it, it was like when you pull, if you got a sink full of water and you pull the plug,
uh-huh.
and it's just draining. It was like that. They were just draining me. And I don't mean like tired. It was a scary feeling. Like, I mean, they wanted to kill me.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were so pissed off at what I did because they were having a feeding frenzy off of this boy and his grandparents.
Oh.
And like I said, it was completely just reflexive on my part.
Right.
I didn't know. And all I wanted to do is make sure the kid didn't die. I think anybody
right.
would have done that, you know. And actually, it wasn't part of my job. It just happened. And so while I was there cleaning up the mess, got all the blood and the glass, and I'm talking to the grandmother, and I just got it all came clear to me. It's like I could see that there was something whispering into this boy's mind, telling him he could fly.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God. And, all the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And, I mean, it was a bright, sunny, beautiful day on the beach, and I'm feeling, like, spooked out of my mind.
Wow.
There was something in the room that we couldn't see. Yeah, I knew it was there.
I knew
it had somehow attached itself to them, or they had attached themselves to that boy.
Right.
And what I couldn't reconcile is why they would make him do that. You know, like I said, I didn't understand what possession was about, or I didn't know anything about the Archons, really.
Uh-huh.
Not like I do today. Anyway, that night, I was so distressed. I ended up on top of one of the mountains, local mountains there, watching the sunset and the moonrise. It was an equinox in 1985. Yeah, it was equinox. It was September 20th, 21st, something like that.
Huh.
And I was sitting up there, and I was told by my next-door neighbor, who was a very spiritual guy, he said, you know, just go up there and watch the sunset, and he says, you'll have visions. Maybe you'll get an answer from that. I'm like, hey, anything's better. I don't know. I seriously knew I had to do something. So I rode my motorcycle up there. I was up there for, I ended up spending the entire night, but I was meditating up there in a way that I'd never done before. Okay, and I mean, I was sitting on the ground, and it was such a beautiful night, and there was like, it sounded like there was millions of crickets going off, and I was sort of using that little vibration and the energy coming through the earth, and I was also saying Om, but in a very unusual way. I was doing it with my tongue pressed against the roof of the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
So that the throat was actually vibrating through the tongue directly into the third eye. It's a technique. It's a technique of
yes.
Kriya Yoga. And
yeah.
I never had felt, even though I knew about it, I never felt the need. You know what I mean?
Right.
I never, ever, up until that time, I was desperate. So I was trying things. I figured, you know what? It's not going to hurt. You just got to try. It was sort of running on instinct again. And after many hours of that, I was tired. I was still wide awake, but I mean, it was too late to leave. I really didn't want to try doing that. So there was a place, cement. It was like is the ruins of an old radar installation that the military had up there back in the Cold War stuff. And I lay down on this cement slab, and my face was shielded from the moonlight. But I hadn't really laid there for more than a few seconds when I felt myself floating up. And I would have to say now I recognize I was out of my body, but I was still fully conscious. I wasn't asleep. I didn't pass out. I could feel it. I could feel myself floating, and it was wonderful because I could actually relax, even though I was laying, my body was laying on some mat. I felt completely relaxed, and everything seemed to brighten, and it was like I was in a giant cloud, and I was. I knew at that moment, though, that I was safe, that those things couldn't follow me where I was, wherever I was at that point, you know. And I don't know, wasn't there very long when I noticed that something was coming towards me, and that did alarm me. I got to admit, I was on full alert, like, oh, now what?
Uh-huh.
And then I could see it was the figure of a person. But as they got closer to me, I was astonished because that person was glowing brighter than the light that we were in.
Huh.
I mean, totally lit up. And I thought, gee, wow. I mean, it was really shocking to see that. And especially when, as he got up closer, I could notice that his eyes were glowing. There was like light coming out of his eyes. I'd never seen anything like it before. I was like, and I said... He and I got to tell you too. He actually looked like I think what most people think of as Christ. Not saying it was, but you know, just if you can imagine the long hair, the beard, the robe. That's what he looked like, and he was glowing. And I looked at him. And I said, "Whoa, who is that?" I was thinking to myself, "Who's that?" And he says to me, "I'm your father." And I'm like, "What? Excuse me." I mean, that was not what I was expecting to hear at all.
Right.
Not at all. I mean, you look weird, guy, but, I mean, on top of that, now what? Excuse me, you don't look my dad.
Right.
You know, and the last thing I remember, he thought that was funny. He thought that was really funny that I somehow didn't recognize him, and he was laughing. And that's the very next thing I know, I was sitting bolt upright. And hours had gone by. I know that because the moon was now setting.
Oh my!
And I stood up and I started walking around, talking to myself, like just going, "What happened? What was that? Where was I?" You know, I mean, it made no sense. It was like I couldn't have been dreaming. I only lay down for a few seconds. You know, and where was the rest of it? How could it come? It was completely lucid up until the time I was in front of this guy, and then bang, I'm just back in my body. Hours are gone, and I knew something else happened. I just couldn't remember what it was. I tried and tried and tried and tried, and I mean, there was nothing. So, but there's a point to all this. I went back to work the next day, and I checked on the boy, and he lived, thank God.
Okay.
And his grandparents told me that he lost a lot of blood, obviously, and that, you know, he had to have over 300 stitches. And I said to him,
"Wow!"
I said to him, "Look, I know this can sound weird, but you can heal the scars on his face, but unless you do something to heal the scars on his soul, this is going to happen again."
Oh.
And I turn around, I walk out, and I go, "That's it. I'm going to be fired. I'm going to get fired for this."
Right.
You know, I mean, they're going to think I've completely lost. And I didn't even, honestly, I had no idea why I was even saying that at the time.
Huh.
I didn't understand, and I'm sure they were shocked, but it's a message that had to be delivered to them. And, okay, so the confirmation comes like this. Shortly after I left the boy's house, I'm sitting there at my post. This girl comes back. She had been with me the day before. This friend of my girlfriend. Anyway, she says to me, she's all excited. She goes, Robert, I saw you in my dreams last night. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I mean, I didn't really care. But she says, you taught me how to fly. I said, I did. She's like, yeah. And you took me up to the mountains. I'm like, what? I hadn't told her anything. Okay. And she's like, yeah, you came to my room. She said, it was sort of like Peter Pan. You just took my hand and we flew up to the mountains. And then she says, you taught me how to fly. And then once I learned how to do it, you made sure I got home, and then you went somewhere. I was like, oh, my God. So I was doing something else. I mean, of all people, because you got to understand, this person was not, as far as I know, not into spirituality at all. Never talked about meditation. I mean, her whole thing was like cars, cigarettes, right. going to the mall. It's just like, you know, and she even told me, she goes, I think this has something to do with spirituality. I read about it in my psych class once,
huh.
You know, and she was really excited. You know, she actually said it was thrilling, and I was just shocked because I hadn't told her anything. I mean, I didn't even know what was going on. So later that day, I get home and to my house finally, and the phone rings, and it's my grandmother. Total opposite. Older woman, really, and wonderful person, very, very spiritual. She says to me, Robbie, I saw you in my bedroom last night. And I go, oh, geez, here we go again. And she says, you were standing at the foot of my bed, and she says, you were all lit up like a Christmas tree.
Huh.
I said, what? She's like, yeah. She says, it was so beautiful. And she goes, you were telling me something, but for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. Because she says, I just, you were like lit up all over. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, that guy, who is this? Now I'm really confused. And I just said, well, look, I love you, Granny. Thanks. And I was so bowled over by what she told me. But at that point, I was just like, okay, I give up. You know, whatever's going on, I thank you. You know, for helping. I don't know who you are, because actually, when I was meditating, I knew I needed help, and I was only thinking about one thing, because I do know that's with meditation. You're trying to focus your thoughts, right? Sort of like a lens with light. If you want to start a fire, you need to focus that light into a beam, right? So I was using this beam coming out of the top of my head as a carrier signal, and I was only focused on one thought. It was love. And the reason I was doing that is because I had seen, I felt, personally experienced something that was pure evil. I may not have had all the facts and figures like I do now, but I mean, God bless it all. I could feel those creatures in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew if there was anything that was evil in this world, that was it. Mm-hmm. Didn't get any more evil than that, where you're just preying on a little kid like that? For what? I mean, what the hell did he do to you? You know,
right.
I mean, what kind of sadist would actually get pleasure out of that? It just be, you know, so it made no sense to me, but it certainly motivated me to seek answers to those particular questions. However, it was decades later that it's finally started to gel, and that was only after I wrote the conclusion to the second book. Which is Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C., because in that, I lay out the hidden history of our nation's capital. Not just the UFOs, but these demonic entities that live there in the capital and manipulate people. And I give examples that everybody knows of, such as the movie The Exorcist.
Uh-huh.
That really happened. That's based on... William Blatty took that right out of the local newspapers from 1948. It happened to a young... He was a 13-year-old boy living in Georgetown.
Wow.
We don't know his real name, and that's irrelevant. The point is, he didn't know what he was doing during the nighttime. They would only come out at night. They would use him. And so at that point, once I started looking into that aspect of the demons in Washington, D.C., I realized, uh-oh, here it is again.
We're in big trouble.
Yeah, and I started thinking, no, because here I recognized right away when I read those reports, it's just like that boy in Malibu. But it's happening in Washington,
yes.
D.C. And that just frosted my cookies, man. I just, like, I thought, there's no way this is going to stand. This has got to come to an end. People need to know about this. And I knew that this probably wouldn't be well received by a lot of people, and that's understandable. But I also knew that it would be derelict of me not to report what I found.
Well, that's a good way to segue into the question, what did you find that's pertinent to Washington, D.C.? And we know that many people have talked about the obelisks
mm-hmm.
around the world, the one in Washington, the use of esoteric symbols, and that the various esoteric groups have been infiltrated above the 33rd degree. And
right.
the secret organizations run the place. Look at the one that all the politicians are involved with, the Skull and Bones.
Council on Foreign Relations. There's a lot of them.
As you began to research, what did you find out? Was I mean, it's clear that there are dark energies ruling there. What were some of the things that you discovered?
Well, as I said, the movie The Exorcist was based on a real event or a series of exorcisms that took place in Washington, D.C. with the boy. Uh-huh. There was also historical records of what they call the demon cat that lives in the Capitol building, which really cannot be a good thing. It's only seen, typically before national crises, like when Kennedy was shot or Reagan was shot, once again indicating that it's attached to these negative energies. They know this is coming. They're just licking their chops, knowing that the next sacrifice is coming and they're going to feast. There was a few others I can't recall that just completely random, you know, events where people were clearly seeing demons there. Oh, actually, and my journalism partner took pictures of something that looks like a shape-shifting, dark, demonic entity. It was actually flying over Howard University. And then other people have seen this thing, too. So, you know, that's the other thing I would really encourage people to do is look at the photographic evidence that I've compiled. So just go to unicusmagazine.com, click on books or photography, and you'll find a link there to the DC UFO archive or images. But I would just have to say that, yes, you're right. There is a satanic influence. There's even something called the Satanic Underground of Washington, D.C. They advertise on the Internet, if you can believe that. So it's, you know, in the second book, I actually had over 900 eyewitness accounts of UFO activity and or extraterrestrials in Washington, D.C. That's from 1850 to 2011. However, it's still going on. And you gotta ask, why would anybody go someplace that they are not welcome hundreds and hundreds, if not possibly thousands of times, if there wasn't some sort of agenda being played out? And it's totally covert. It's totally covert. Officially, the government won't do anything about it, even if we have pictures of them landing on the Capitol, that's how I got started on this investigation. Nobody wanted to touch those pictures. Nobody wanted to tell that story. But July 16, 2002, there was a professional photographer at the Capitol by the reflecting pool shooting pictures, and he accidentally captured a swarm of UFOs coming over the Capitol. One of them actually landed on the roof. There's one hovering over the reflecting pool. There's some on the actually appears to be, you know, in the bushes on the ground, but there's a bunch of them in the air. They were using wormholes or stargates to transit in and out of the area, and I'm sure they still are. And that was just the beginning, okay? I mean, of the investigation for me, and I didn't even hear about it till spring of 2005 is the first I heard of it. By the summer, I published my first article with the photographs, and immediately got visited by a black helicopter.
Oh.
And it came right to my house, okay? It didn't pass the neighborhood. It came to my house. It hovered over my driveway. I could have hit it with a rock. I did take a picture of it as it was leaving. So, did I upset an apple cart? Yeah, unintentionally, I did. Did I stop? No. I'm sure they wanted me to, but ultimately, by the fall of 2006, I'd written the first book. It had over 200 eyewitness accounts of UFO activity from 1850 till 2006. And I was shocked because, you know, honestly, I've investigated this pretty much for the last 30-something years, right? And mainly, like I said, because I'm trying to figure this out for myself, not just for other people's benefit. I really want to know what's going on because this has impacted my life. And I think everybody, too. Not everybody recognizes what's going on. Anyway, so I published the first book, and I put the pictures, more pictures up, and immediately the website was hacked, and the pictures were taken down. And not only that, the server where the pictures were, I couldn't enter in there to fix the damage. The people that owned the server could not access the server either. They said they'd never seen anything like it. I ended up having to move to a different web hosting company just because whoever did that damage really did a good job and then locked everybody out.
Uh-huh.
So it just proves, like, I think a lot of people know this. There's back doors in all computers for the government or certain government agencies.
Right.
Okay. And when they really want to shut something down, they can do it. And however, once again, I didn't really take the warning or whatever you want to call it. And I just kept going. And I've been doing this for 7 years now. And people are reading the books. They are going to the website. And they are starting to finally figure out what's going on. However, I think that they're at a quandary. Most people, including myself, really don't know what to do about it. Because the government refuses to. I mean, recently, if you saw this petition that was sent to the White House to investigate on this stuff, they said, we find no evidence. There is no credible evidence to investigate, so sorry. And
that would be the nature of keeping something going is to deny it. And
right. You know, but, and part of it is, though, I was told, I mean, I said, look, to some of these people in D.C., I said, look, we've got pictures of them landing on the Capitol. Isn't there anybody that can at least comment on this officially? And we were told no, because that person and whatever agency that they represented in Washington, they would be held accountable by the public. At least that's what that's the excuse we were told. You see, or at least that's what that's their mindset. They were honestly telling us, you know, that they're scared. They're scared to admit what's going on there, because honestly, I don't think they're in control. They don't appear to be in control.
Clearly, the whole thing's gotten out of control. It probably was never really controlled in the first place, but they might have.
Well, at least not by us. For our government officials, the people we think we elected to be leaders, if they're really not in control, then who the hell is?
Well, I do know that I've heard stories from other guests that have talked about people high up in the intelligence community that are in charge of the national security going to certain corporations and asking them what's going on, and they were given the direct information, you don't have a need to know, you don't have clearance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we have a pretty good idea of the nature of the cover-up and the extent of it, but if we knew what they were doing and the technology that they have, and it leaks out periodically. There is free energy. We know that. Free energy has existed since, well, probably for thousands of years, since the pyramids.
I think it's always been there. It's just that we were cut off from almost everything once these Archon entities, or the entities who, the beings that were possessed by the Archons, when they arrived here, they destroyed literally everything, and then remade this world in their image. They took our DNA and created us to be their slaves, unfortunately. And it's not about mining gold. Really, I mean,
where's the
God
gold?
Bless Zechariah. Wherever you are, Zechariah, I love you. But, you know, there was a lot of things in those records that were never accurate to begin with.
Yeah, right.
Because the people that wrote them down didn't have all the information. They were just, you know, they were cogs in the wheel themselves. They couldn't see the bigger picture. They didn't have that kind of orientation to the bigger picture. They couldn't have. We were already under the influence by that time.
Right, and then there are levels of understanding. There's the hidden, there's the outer version, and then the esoteric version.
Yeah.
And as you and I know, and people listening know, there are layers of truth nestled into the same information that somebody could read and pick up something obvious, but gold could refer to alchemy. It could refer to spirit.
Or it could just be gold too. I mean, look, a lot of their technologies are not that advanced, not compared to the divine ones. Their level of technology is sort of like, a friend had a really good analogy for me one time. He goes, if you had to compare this to Star Trek, the divine beings, they're like the Q.
Yeah,
they are the technology. They don't need all that stuff.
Right.
They work. They know everything is consciousness. They're in contact with the creator of this universe, and they're working with him as agents of his, you know, good work, the creative work that they do. So
and doesn't it make sense that we have that capacity within us?
Absolutely, but it's been corrupted, and like I said, that's another reason why that they really care, because we're related, but they also care because they know that this is such a huge violation. What's been going on here is such a terrible violation of our souls.
Yes.
I mean, the physical body is one thing; the soul is truly something separate. It's connected, but it is truly separate. It's on a completely different level.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's really where I was. When I stepped into the light, I was not in my physical being. I could see things and do things that I could relate. I was still thinking of myself as a physical being, but I'm sure I wasn't. I'm sure we're not. I mean, I'm just absolutely positive that our souls are more like, like I said, like eternal flames, or
right.
a little more well defined than that, like a ball of plasma that's highly intelligent and extremely creative. And well connected too. That's the other thing. I believe all the universes more or less are connected because they are. It is a holographic fractal. They have to be connected. They can be individuated like cells, but they're still part of a greater body.
Right. Right. If something can be affected trillions of miles away at the same moment, that would indicate that there is no separation.
Right. Correct.
And so the more fragmented and separate and judgmental and tormented we are, the more we're capable of being divided and not realizing or coming to fruition, as you spoke in the first place, of bearing fruit. And the fruit being not necessarily having children, but giving birth to our own divine essence within, the spark that's already there that is waiting to be recreated on a higher level.
Yeah, because the pattern wants to repeat itself. It's designed like that. That's what a holographic fractal is. It just wants to repeat and repeat and repeat infinitely. Of course, there's variations too, and that's what gives us our individuality. But in many ways, we're a lot more similar than we are different.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you see as some of the solutions for us in terms of learning how to come together consciously and unite so that we are not able to be as corrupted as, well, of course, one of the main solutions would be to turn off your television set.
Yeah, obviously that would help. But yeah, there's so many influences over us, but I really think that President Reagan touched on something when he was in office. Is what he said, if we were faced by a common enemy from outside, that we would unite. And I've had mixed feelings about that for a long time until I realized, he may have actually been talking about the Archon.
Right.
I mean, who am I to say what he knew? But I do know that he did have close encounters when he was governor that happened at least twice that we know of. One time he was driving down the coast with his wife, and they were going from Santa Barbara to Hollywood, and somewhere along the way they were actually contacted. At first I'd heard for years that they saw something, and it really shook them up, but apparently recently Shirley MacLaine was at that party. She's come out and said, no, they actually saw someone. They talked to someone that came out of the craft and was talking to them, so that would explain why they were late and very shook up. But so it's, the good guys are doing what they do very cautiously. They don't want to upset the apple cart. They also know that the Archons would not hesitate to destroy the world, this world and all life on it, if they felt like they were going to lose control.
Yes.
So it's a tricky situation. And so what can we do? I think part of it is if a person does come to the awareness that the Archons are real, then it is imperative that they take some sort of action to free themselves. Because it all starts with you. It all starts with us individually before it can become part of the collective. You see, because if enough of us individually clear ourselves from these creatures, at some point we will reach a tipping point in consciousness, and they don't want that. They don't want that at all. The Archons don't want that, but they can't prevent it. It's something that we really could do and should do. But part of it is not only recognizing that they exist, but then, like I said, not feeding them anymore. Like I said earlier, once you recognize they exist and you don't, and you're not feeding them with negative energy, and they're still bugging you because you're doing good deeds, and I've had them pull that number on me until I figured out what I could do. Like I said, just, toss them in the fire. Build a fire, campfire in your mind, and visually, mentally, just put them in there, because that's kind of where they belong, and in my opinion.
Well, I'm in total agreement with you.
Right?
Just
burn them up, and really, all that's happening is you're transferring, you're transmuting the energy that whatever energy that they have, you're turning it into light in that ritualistic process right there. It's not harming anybody, in my opinion.
Certainly not as much as wars and
the global
sex and sex trade that's going on and the drug industry.
Yep.
That is being secretly kept going by governments and royal families. I mean,
right.
There's nobody that's not subject to this, the evil in the world that's corrupted us.
Yes.
And I think those at the top are the most subject to it.
Yes, and that's why I believe in the Bible when it talks about the first shall be last.
Oh, right.
That's because that's the way it's just going to have to be. And so the end of the world as we know it, I believe is inevitable because the way the Archons have set this up is completely unsustainable.
Yes. Those elements that you mentioned are set up already, that the seeds of self-destruction are already here. Look at
right.
the nuclear industry falling apart.
Well, that was on shaky ground from day one. And the good guys, when they came in, they kept telling our leaders, we'll help you, but you have to stop the nuclear program. It's literally a dead end. But they wouldn't listen. And the reason they won't listen and that they won't work with the good guys is because they're under the influence of the bad guys.
Yes. Would
okay.
you say
and
that
most
of the governments, most of the people in government, like the larger percentage, are under the influence and may not even know it?
Yes, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it's not just people that are schizophrenic or pathological.
Right.
You know, those are extreme examples. But we are all, to some degree, either directly or indirectly being influenced by these entities, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, and so take it for what it's worth. But like I said, I finally saw this for what it was only because I asked. And you know who I asked to help me? Was the guy that said he was my father.
Oh.
I visualized him because I figure he's a being of light. He knows how to deal with this. He came when I said I need help. He showed up. I think that's probably
right.
one of the reasons he's laughing. It's like, hey, look, you called me. Here I am, and now you don't know who I am. It's like, what's he? You know. So,
I love
but
that
I,
story.
So years later, I've never forgotten him and that feeling that he, this radiant light. And, as a matter of fact, a lot of Christians don't know this, but and it's only something I came across last year when I was speaking to a shaman friend of mine out here in New England. He says, you know, that sounds like the transfiguration of Christ. And I go, what is that? And he goes, oh, just look it up. You'll find it.
Huh.
Well, apparently that's one of the things that Christ did before he was crucified is he took three of his disciples up onto a mountain. We don't know which mountain. But it's not important. He went up there, and he started to glow. He started to glow. His whole, even his garment was radiant. It says that in the quote. And then, to make things even weirder, a glowing cloud shows up, and a voice comes out of it, says to them, this is my son, of whom I'm well pleased.
Huh.
Like, what? A talking cloud, right? The glow?
Right.
You've got another minute.
Okay, good. Thank you. Well, anyway.
And this and more we shall do ourselves. So
yeah, that's right.
There you have it. Well, Robert, we're at the end of a show, and that's just flown by faster than on angel's wings. So I want to thank you for being on tonight. I love talking to you. And before we sign off, if you could mention your website again so people can find you, and I'd love to have you back again so we can talk some more.
Okay, thanks, Lance. I know. We're just scratching the surface.
Yeah,
The website is Unicus. My website is unicusmagazine.com. It's spelled UNICUS magazine.com. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. A lot of free information there. If you want to contact me, there's a link at the bottom of the page for email. But thanks again, Lance.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure, Robert. And good night. And good night, everybody. Stay tuned for our next show. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.